Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Isaiah chapter 53, and I'll read verse number 6. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." When I was a boy growing up on a farm, my dad used to always keep a few sheep around. I don't know why. I think they were just sort of something nice to look at. We didn't eat the sheep. We didn't use the wool. We just had sheep. Our main focus was the dairy cows and animals that were productive, but my dad would always keep a few sheep. And sheep are a rather interesting animal. They are quite unique, in fact. I remember as a boy, my dad, one night he said, "Son, go out and put the sheep in." Now the sheep pasture was near the house, and it kind of was the side of a hill. And in the middle of that pasture, there was a little building. It wasn't much bigger than maybe 15 feet by 15 feet. And we called it the smokehouse. It's not where we went to smoke. It was a little building that they used to smoke the meat in back in the old days before refrigeration. And that little building sat in the middle of that pasture. And that's where we'd put the sheep at night. So the wolves and coyotes and other animals would not get to them in the night. And so we'd put them in this smokehouse. My dad said, "Go put the sheep in." So I went out in the field, out in the pasture, and climbed the fence and went into that pasture, and I began to try to herd those sheep into the smokehouse, like you herd pigs or cows or any other intelligent animal. When I got behind those sheep and began to try to chase them into that smokehouse, they began to run. They were afraid of me. And they began to run, and as they ran, they kept looking back at me like I was going to kill them or something, and they ran as hard as they could and ran right past the smokehouse. So frustrated, I went around behind them, got behind them again, and began to chase them back toward the smokehouse, and they ran right past the smokehouse again. And I made several attempts, 5 or 6 attempts, to chase those sheep into that smokehouse without any success. Finally, as a kid, I said, "You know what? Stay out here. I don't care if you get eaten by wolves." I went in the smokehouse to make sure they had some feed and water for the night. And as I was preparing some things inside that little smokehouse for them, I heard something. And I looked over my shoulder, and the sheep had followed me into the smokehouse. I thought, "Well, that's interesting." So I waited till they all came in, and then I kind of snuck around behind them and closed the door. After that, whenever my dad told me to put the sheep in, that was the easiest job he ever gave me on that farm. All I had to do was go out in that pasture, clap my hands a couple of times, get their attention, and then I would just walk in the smokehouse. And they would follow me in, and I would close the door. Throughout the scripture, God likens us as human beings to sheep without a shepherd. Way back in the book of Numbers, chapter 27 and verse 16, "Let the Lord set a man over the congregation, that they be not as sheep which have no shepherd." You see, God decided early on in the history of his people that they would need a shepherd because they were as sheep without a shepherd. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22 and verse 17, God says, "I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd." In Mark chapter 6, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 34, he came out and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Throughout the Bible, God likens us as human beings to sheep without a shepherd. The world is no friend to a sheep without a shepherd. Perhaps you've noticed here in the Antelope Valley, oftentimes in the spring of the year, as the areas around our valley begin to green up. Sometimes they'll bring large flocks of sheep into our valley and graze them in some of these open areas. They'll bring a large flock of sheep in. The shepherd will be out there, usually a little trailer out in the middle of that field. The sheep dogs will help to keep the sheep within and off the roads and so on. I remember several years ago reading in the newspaper about in the middle of the night, some of these sheep that were being grazed out here in the east side of Lancaster, they had wandered across the road. And it just so happened at that exact moment, about 2 o'clock in the morning, a couple of young men were racing their cars down that back road with their lights off. And they didn't see those sheep. Now, I remember the article, the police officer who was the first on the scene said, "I've never seen such carnage in all of my life." I don't know how many sheep, I don't remember how many sheep died in that terrible accident. But I thought to myself as I read that story, where was the shepherd? Where was the shepherd? Where were the sheepdogs? How did those sheep end up in the middle of that road in the middle of the night? You see, a sheep without a shepherd is very vulnerable to this world. The world is no friend to a person without a shepherd. How close are you to that shepherd this morning? How close are you to the one who has been given to us to protect us, to guide us? The psalmist David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How close are you to the shepherd this morning? In Isaiah chapter 53, we see a threefold description of sheep. We see the plight, we see the peril, and we see the provision. First, notice with me the plight of sheep. The Bible shows us our likeness in verse number 6. He says, "All we like sheep," our likeness. Sheep are very fearful. Oh, they're easy to be led, but sheep are very fearful. They scare very easy. I was telling the staff on Friday in the staff meeting how as a kid I used to have to water the sheep. And we had this big watering trough, and we had to run a hose from the house over to this trough. And it was my job every day to make sure that that trough was full of fresh water. Now, if you know anything about sheep, sheep do not drink out of moving water. A sheep will not drink out of a river. You can't water a sheep at a river. They will not drink out of moving water. So the water has to be still. That's why Psalm 23 says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." So I would take that hose and I would put it beneath the surface of the water. When you do that, the water is very still. There's no bubbling. You put the hose down into the water. The sheep would venture up to that watering trough, a little bit frightened, a little bit afraid, but they would come up and they would see that still water and they'd begin to drink. And then being the ornery kid that I was, I would pull the hose out of the water and spray the sheep and they would all run. And then I'd put it back in the trough and they would venture up again. And they would come up and look and it was nice and still and so they'd all start to drink. And I'd pull it out again. I entertained myself for hours scaring the sheep. They're very frightened animals. They're very vulnerable to all the things that would scare them. And without a shepherd, they are lost. We are all in that condition this morning. We are as sheep. By our nature, we are lost sheep. We are subject to eternal death. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not." There's not a person in here this morning that has never sinned. There's not a person in this world today that has never sinned. In the book of Psalms, chapter 53 and verse 3, every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. In Proverbs 20 and verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All of us this morning are sinners. Several years ago, I was doing some door knocking in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was there for revival meetings and went out soul winning one day, and I was going down a street knocking on doors. And I came to this old three-story house and climbed the porch and got up there on the porch and knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door and actually stepped out on the porch. And we began to talk, a little small talk at first, and then I explained to her who I was and why I was there, had a flyer for the revival that night and invited her to come and hear me preach. And she seemed very open. I said, ma'am, could I ask you a question? I said, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? She said, I don't know that for sure. And I said, well, would you mind if I took the word of God, the Bible, and showed you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven? She said, I believe I'd like to see that. So I opened my Bible and I began to go through the Romans road, and I turned to Romans chapter 3 and I began to explain how that all of us are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, and so on. And I said, after explaining a little bit about it, I said, ma'am, would you agree with me today that you're a sinner? And she began to laugh. She began to laugh. I didn't see anything funny about that. And she not only began to laugh, she began to bend over in laughter. I mean, she is hysterically laughing. Well, I began to laugh at her and with her. Pretty soon, both of us are laughing. I don't know what we're laughing about. She does, but I don't. But it's funny to watch her laugh. And so we're laughing together. And finally, I said, ma'am, what is so funny about that? She said, oh, I know I'm a sinner. She said, that's my name. Her last name was Sinner. You know, all of us could be named Sinner. The truth is, every one of us could have that as our name. John Sinner. Because all of us have come short of the glory of God. And by nature, our likeness is like that sheep who is lost. But notice that likeness produces our lostness. It says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Our likeness declares our lostness. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, hath God said ye shall not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord God called unto Adam, where art thou? Suddenly, because of sin, they had been separated from God and were lost. Where art thou? Lost. Our likeness has produced our lostness. And from that point on, God has taken it upon himself to seek us out as lost sheep. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that one which is gone astray? You see, the path that we are on as a lost sinner leads us to an eternity in hell, forever separated from God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. My friend, it's a broad way that leads to hell. It's a popular way that leads to hell, but it's the wrong way. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. We see this condition of the sheep. But notice, secondly, not only the plight of the sheep, but notice the peril of the sheep. We see a forsaken path in verse number 6. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. We have turned a forsaken path. You see, throughout the scripture, God clearly shows us the path to eternal life. God over and over again shows us the answer to our sin need. The answer is not a church. The answer is not religion. The answer is not doing better. The answer is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter declares in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But like sheep, we always think that the grass is greener off of the path. We often think, well, I can get to heaven some other way than God's way. We think, I don't need a Savior. I can get to heaven on my own. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans chapter 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness which is of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul said, all these people around me, they think they've got their own way to get to heaven. And they've put aside the path that God has provided. They've put aside the provision that God has provided. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness. But Christ is the end of that road of our own righteousness. You see, he became sin for us. And we see so many people today trying to get to heaven some other way than through Jesus Christ. But you know, Christians, we make the same mistake, do we not? I mean, we have a whole book. We have an entire Bible that is written to guide us down the path of God's will. And yet, how many times do you and I think that we're smarter than God? How many times do we think, well, you know, I know what God says, but I don't want to do that. I like this grass over here. I like this field over here. I like this direction better than that direction. We make all kinds of excuses of why we don't want to stay on the path that God has provided. But my friend, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. In Hosea 10 and verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou trustest in thy way, in the multitude of mighty men. Friend, what are you trusting to get through life this morning? Are you trusting your own experience? You trusting your own intellect? You trusting your own knowledge? You trusting the government today? You trusting your job today? You trusting the economy today? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, when we forsake God's path, we face a fierce predator. We don't think we're vulnerable, but we forget that we're sheep. Remember who we are. We think, oh, I can make it without God. I can make it without the Word of God. I don't need God's path. But we forget that we're sheep. I remember one day my dad standing by the fence looking at the sheep as they'd come up for water. And my dad said, son, there's one missing. I suppose only the real shepherd would notice. But one was missing. He said, come on, son. And we began to walk the fence line around that pasture. And we got about halfway around, almost directly opposite of where we had stood. And there we found the lost sheep. It appeared to us that the sheep had squeezed through the fence, had gotten outside of the protection, outside of that fence. And now it appeared that the sheep had tried to get back in, for its head was through the fence, apparently attempting to get back into the protection. But the carcass had been ripped asunder by the wolves. You see, we don't understand when we go our own way that we're still sheep. And we are vulnerable to a fierce predator. This world is no friend to a lost sheep. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil walks that fence line and waits for you and I as a sheep to just get off the path a little bit, to just step out of God's protection in his will. And he's ready to pounce. He's ready to devour. He's ready to destroy. The Lord said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, we may think, I can get to heaven without God. I can live my life as a Christian without God. I was preaching in Green Bay, Wisconsin. One day the pastor took me to see a man by the name of Bob Alexander. As we drove to his little apartment, the pastor told me about Bob. Bob had been a professional fighter, a professional boxer. He had fought 21 fights and was undefeated. In his 22nd fight, he fought a man by the name of Jerry Quarry. If you're as old as I am, you remember that name. Jerry Quarry fought Muhammad Ali. He fought Joe Frazier. He was never a championship fighter, but he fought in the big fights. And Bob fought Jerry in the 22nd fight of his life, 21-0 going into that match, and he got beat. He not only got beat, he got beat up. So much so, the doctors told him that he better quit boxing or he'd lose his life. And so Bob Alexander quit boxing. When we walked into his apartment that day, he had lost it all. We walked into that little apartment in Green Bay. There was not a stick of furniture in that apartment in any of the rooms, except for the kitchen, where there was a little cardboard table and a couple of metal folding chairs, one on either side. There was a refrigerator. Later, we would discover that inside that refrigerator was a half a bottle of whiskey. That was all that was in that house. Bob was going to drink the rest of that whiskey and commit suicide. His life was over. He had lost his wife. He had lost his kids. He had lost his job. He had lost all of his possessions. He had absolutely nothing. I remember the pastor inviting Bob to sit down in one of those chairs and me to sit on the other side of him. And Pastor Blank, Ken Blank, said, John, why don't you tell Bob something from God's word? So I sat across from that man. He was wearing a white t-shirt with blue jeans. As I sat across from that man and began to explain the gospel to him, I took him through the first step, that all of us are sinners. And I said, Bob, would you agree with me this morning that we're sinners? Now, I remember that man, he brought his fists up in front of his face and he began to shake them. And I don't know if it was just in my imagination or what, but his fists were absolutely humongous. I don't know if it was from all of the years of fighting and using those fists, or whether it was because of the other muscles in atrophy made those fists look so large. But he brought them up in front of his face and he shook them like this, and then he would bring them down, and I would go on. And I would explain the wages of sin. I said, "Bob, the wages of our sin is leading us to hell, to a lake of fire." And he'd bring those fists up in front of him and shake them like that again, and then he'd bring them down. And I explained how Jesus died on a cross for his sin and paid the penalty of his sin, and those fists came up in front of his face, and then he'd bring them down. And I explained how that salvation's a free gift, and that if we'll trust Christ as Savior, he will save us and give us eternal life. He brought those fists in front of his face and just began to tremble. And I said, "Bob, wouldn't you like to trust Christ today as your Savior?" And I remember he brought those fists down to that table like that. And tears began to flow from his eyes. And he said, "All of my life, I have fought my battles with these. But," he said, "I need something bigger than these now. I need Jesus Christ." What a joy to see that man slip to his knees by that folding chair and ask Jesus Christ to save him. My friend, you can get through life with these. You can make money with these. You can make friends with these. You can get to a place of power with these. But when you stand before a holy God at the end of life, you're going to need more than these. You need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Which leads us finally this morning to the provision for the sheep. We've seen the plight, we've seen the peril, but notice the provision for the sheep. Beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah 53, we see a rejected Savior who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We see the description here of a rejected Savior. Isn't it amazing that God has given us a Savior? God has provided a way of escape from our sin. God has provided a way of salvation, a way to eternal life in heaven for eternity. And yet man rejects that Savior. Years ago, my family and I were pulling a trailer headed to a revival meeting in northern Michigan. It was Saturday night. We had traveled all day, and we got about 50 miles from the church. It was probably about 10:30 at night. Still had about an hour to drive when the weather just seemed to change almost instantly. It grew very black outside, no stars, nothing. Clouds began to move in. The rain began to come down. It just began to come down in sheets. My windshield wipers could not keep up with the rain. The winds began to blow. I could feel that trailer pulling against that truck as we were trying to go down this two-lane highway. I began to get very nervous as I drove, thinking, "Are we going to make it through this storm?" We turned on the radio and began to try to get some weather reports, and they were talking about the sighting of a tornado. And they began to tell these various counties in which this tornado was to look for cover, to get to the basements and so on. I didn't know what county I was in. I knew what town I was going to, but I didn't know what county it was in. And I thought, "Am I in one of these counties that's being told, get out?" Pretty soon I couldn't see. I felt it was dangerous to drive. I pulled off to the side of that road, hoping for the best. And no more than I pull off and these lights appeared in our windshield, and the red lights of a police officer approached, and he pulled up alongside of us, and he got out in that fierce storm and that rain just pelting his face. And I rolled the window of the truck down, and the rain just blew in against us. And through that rain, he said, "Sir, where are you going?" And I told him the city of our destination. He said, "Then drive. Drive as fast as you can. The tornado is behind you. If you'll drive, you'll be safe. Go." Oh, how thankful I was that that man stopped and helped us. It gave us the solution to the problem. And we drove and outdrove that storm that night as that tornado touched down and took with it everything in its path. You know, it's amazing how we go through the storms of life We go through the difficulties of life, and God whispers to us, you need me. I'm the shepherd. I can lead you through the storm. And yet we reject him. We reject him. He's a rejected Savior. You would think a lost man would turn automatically to Christ, but he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph, the brother of James and Joseph and Simon and Judah? And are not his sisters all with us? And they were offended at him. In Luke chapter 4, all that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, when they heard Jesus speak, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. In Luke 23, they cried out all at once, away with this man. And release unto us Barabbas, a rejected Savior. But aren't you glad that in spite of that rejection, he became a redeeming sacrifice? I love verse 5 of Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Oh, the redeeming sacrifice. These next few weeks we'll be entering into the season of the Resurrection Sunday, of Easter Sunday. And on that day, April 24th, we'll gather in this place and hear a wonderful message on the resurrected Savior. But in these days going into that Resurrection Sunday, may we not lose sight of what he did as a sacrifice for our sin. David describes it. In Psalm 22, that messianic prophetic psalm of the crucifixion, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cried unto thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and they were delivered. They cried and thou didst deliver them. But I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that pass by shoot out the lip. They mock, saying, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he'll have him. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, for thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Many dogs have enclosed me. The assembly of the wicked have encircled me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They stare and look upon me. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth every year into the holy place with the blood of others. But this man, who once suffered for the foundation of the world, now once hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is to say, not of this building, nor of the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he hath entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the redeeming sacrifice. And notice, when this sacrifice was completed, there was a righteousness satisfied. In verse number 11, he, speaking of God the Father, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. God saw this sacrifice and was satisfied. Sin's penalty had been paid. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and took your sin and mine, when it was completed, he cried from that cross, "It is finished." In the Greek, he would have cried the word simply, "Tetelestai." Tetelestai in the Greek was a business transaction word. It was used when a business transaction was completed. When two men would verbally agree on the sale of something, they would shake hands and they would say to each other, "Tetelestai." What it meant was, once the shaking of the hands had taken place and the word "Tetelestai" had been uttered from both, nothing could be added to this agreement. Nothing could be taken from it. It was settled. It was complete. Jesus cried, "Tetelestai." And Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, nothing can be taken from it. Neither can anything be added to it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Tetelestai. God was satisfied. Man of sorrow. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. "It is finished," was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes, my glorious King, and his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he yours? He can be. And if he is yours, he said to you, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you're a sheep, you follow. If you're not following, you need a shepherd. Is he your shepherd? If he is, are you following?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.